Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Mario Ritter, Brian Lynn, and Phil Deerking. Later, Bruce Alpert and Jill Robbins will bring us this week's education report. But first, the death of an American college student is raising concerns about human rights violations in North Korea. 22-year-old Otto Warmbier died on Monday. Warmbier returned home to the United States last week. U.S. officials say he was unable to communicate and in a coma after his release from a North Korean prison. Doctors said Warmbier had suffered severe brain damage while in North Korea. In January of 2016, the student was arrested on a visit to Pyongyang. North Korean officials accused him of attempting to steal a propaganda sign at a hotel. He was sentenced to 15 years hard labor.
North Korean officials said Warmbier became sick from botulism while in detention and was given medication to help him sleep. They said he fell into a coma 15 months ago and never awoke. After his release from North Korea, Warmbier was taken to a hospital in Cincinnati, Ohio. Doctors there disputed the North Korean explanation of what happened, but they could not say what caused his brain damage. His parents said in a statement on Monday their son was at peace. Unfortunately, the awful, torturous treatment our son received at the hands of the North Koreans ensured that no other outcome was possible beyond the sad one we experienced today, the statement said.
U.S. President Donald Trump offered his sympathy to the family. There is nothing more tragic for a parent than to lose a child in the prime of life, he said. Trump added that Warmbier's death strengthens his desire to prevent future tragedies at the hands of regimes that do not respect the rule of law or basic human decency. Tensions between the two countries have increased in recent months because of North Korea's missile and nuclear activities. North Korea has launched more than 20 missiles and carried out 2 nuclear bomb tests since the beginning of last year. U.S. officials have said they are concerned about 3 Korean Americans who are being held in North Korea. At least 6 South Koreans are also believed to be jailed there. Some were Christian religious workers. The North Korean government accuses them of spying. Others were reportedly kidnapped by North Korean agents while helping defectors in China. The U.S. government says North Korea uses the detainees for political reasons. North Korea accuses the United States and South Korea of sending spies to overthrow its government.
The North Korean regime also wages war on their own citizens, noted Marion Smith, the director of the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation. In 2014, a United Nations Commission of Inquiry report compared current abuses in North Korea to those that took place in Nazi Germany during World War II. The report said the North Korean government is holding between 80,000 and 120,000 political prisoners in four large camps. It accused the government of using torture during questioning, and it said North Koreans suspected of major political crimes often disappear without trial or judicial order into prison camps. The report also noted that North Korea's policy of carrying out executions in public causes people to fear the government.
The ruling Kim dynasty has shown time and time again that they have no regard for human rights, said Phil Robertson of Human Rights Watch. They have no regard for human life, and that whatever is necessary for them to hold on to power, they will do, he said. Robertson added that Warmbier's treatment should cause other countries to restart efforts to hold North Korea responsible for human rights violations. After the COI report was released in 2014, the UN General Assembly approved a resolution to send North Korea to the International Criminal Court. It called for the North Korean government to face charges of crimes against humanity. But the Security Council has yet to approve the measure. Experts believe North Korea's allies, China and Russia, are stopping the council from taking action on the resolution.
A trial of 17 journalists opened this week at a courthouse in Istanbul. The writers and media workers are accused of involvement in the failed attempt last July to overthrow Turkey's government. The defendants face long jail sentences of up to life in prison if they are found guilty. The first hours of the trial on Monday were spent reading from more than 200 pages of charges. Government lawyers say the journalists are followers of the Turkish Islamic religious leader Fethullah Gulen. The government blames Gulen for the overthrow attempt. He now lives in the United States. Much of the evidence noted by government lawyers did not deal with the journalists' activities, but with their suspected ties to the clergyman. Gulen has denied involvement in the attempted coup. Nazlı İlecek writes a newspaper column. She rejected the government's charges. İlecek told the court that she was a supporter of President Recep Tayyip Erdogan before he came to power. She added that she opposed coups. She noted that her father had been jailed after the military seized control of the government in 1960. İlecek and the brothers Mehmet Altan and Ahmet Altan are among the most famous writers and journalists facing charges. They have been critics of Erdogan's government. All 17 reporters have been detained for months. Even before the trial opened, international observers criticized the quality of the evidence being presented. The media rights group Reporters Without Borders strongly criticized the case. It said, "This trial marks a new level in the growing absurdity of the charges being brought against journalists." Many international and Turkish human rights groups sent representatives to the trial on Monday. Milena Buyum of Amnesty International spoke after the first day of hearings. She said, "People are really facing serious charges, with potentially three life sentences on the basis of very, very little evidence of criminal acts, and that's really worrying." Human rights groups accuse Turkey of jailing more journalists than any country in the world. They say more than 170 reporters and media workers have been imprisoned since the failed coup attempt. Emma Sinclair Webb is a researcher with the U.S.-based group Human Rights Watch. She said, "A very legitimate task of trying to bring coup plotters to justice has been completely lost in a mass purge of those the government does not like." The Turkish president dismissed criticism of the trial during a speech to national media leaders on Saturday. Erdogan said that only two of the 177 people who have been identified as journalists have documents showing they work for the press. He said one of the people is in jail for murder, and the others for involvement in terrorist organizations. Last month, Erdogan warned that the current state of emergency put in place after the coup would not end because of terrorist threats and economic problems. The head of the Turkish Press Council, Pinar Turenj, expressed support for the jailed reporters. "The jailed journalists are inside because of their journalistic activities, because they chase the news, because they chase the truth," she said. But rights groups are warning that journalists may not chase after the news when they see so many journalists on trial. "It sends a message to the rest of society, to other journalists. Expressing your opinion, being critical of power," noted Amnesty's Milena Buyum. The Associated Press estimates that about 50,000 people have been arrested after the failed coup. It also notes that about 150 media organizations have been closed. I'm Mario Ritter.
Google has launched a new tool that lets users search for new job listings across many major career websites. Beginning Tuesday, English-speaking job seekers in the United States will be able to use the new service. The new search tool was first announced at Google's yearly developers conference in May. "Now, when people search for jobs or jobs near me on Google, the results will include listings from a number of websites. In the past, a Google job search only brought up general results from major job sites. With the new results, users can connect directly to the job descriptions that interest them. Among the major job sites cooperating with Google are LinkedIn, Monster, CareerBuilder, Facebook, ZipRecruiter, and Glassdoor. The tool allows job seekers to narrow their search by category, job title, or date posted. The new search service can also let users know how long it will take to drive to the new job. As with many career websites, people can also request that alerts or emails be sent to inform them of new jobs of interest. Google says the new system helps job seekers by putting many different listings in one place. Users no longer have to go onto multiple websites to search. An announcement on the company's website said the system is powered by Google's machine learning technology. This makes the results more relevant and provides suggestions to users of other possible jobs of interest, the company said. The search is also supposed to prevent duplicate or old listings from coming up. Google plans to keep adding new job sites to the system over time. The company said it has encouraged all job providers to make openings available through the new Google Career Search. The system is available for people using a desktop or mobile device. The new service is Google's latest attempt to keep users on the search engine while they seek various products. The company already expanded its search capabilities related to travel, ordering food, and connecting users to other local services. I'm Brian Lynn.
The United States Supreme Court ruled Monday that an Asian American musical group called The Slants has the right to trademark its name. The word is offensive to many Asians. The group's founder, Simon Tam, tried to trademark the name in 2011, but the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office denied the request. It said the word was a derogatory reference to Asian people's eyes. But on Monday, the Supreme Court said a federal law that bans offensive trademarks violates free speech rights guaranteed by the First Amendment of the Constitution. Tom was happy about the ruling. He said, "The journey has always been much bigger than our band. It's been about the rights of all marginalized communities to determine what's best for ourselves." The ruling could affect other trademark cases. In 2014, the trademark for the Washington Redskins football team was canceled after Native Americans complained that the word Redskins was offensive. A lower court said it would wait to hear an appeal of the decision until the Supreme Court ruled on the musical group's appeal. I'm Phil Dierking.
This is what's trending today. The summer solstice arrives on Wednesday, June 21st. It marks the longest day of the year and the first day of summer. But people north of the equator are already living with record heat one day before the start of summer. In the southwestern United States, airlines canceled flights and doctors told people to stay indoors during the warmest parts of the day. Cities like Phoenix and Las Vegas are known for their heat, but even residents of those cities are worried about temperatures as high as 49 degrees Celsius. It has not been that hot for 20 years. The Associated Press news agency spent Monday with an air conditioner repairman in Phoenix. Russ Goodman said the temperature inside his home reached almost 32 degrees on Sunday night. He was happy Alan Schwant arrived Monday morning to replace a broken part. He called Schwant and the other repairmen working in Phoenix unsung heroes. Hospitals are warning people to be careful with everyday items like door handles and leather car seats. Those things get dangerously hot in the sun. In Las Vegas, many people spend their days inside large air-conditioned hotels and casinos. A local meteorologist said the area with many well-known hotels, called the Strip, can be 1 or 2 degrees warmer than the rest of the city. That is because concrete, asphalt, and the bright lights of the Strip hold the heat during the daytime. The heat is a problem all over the Northern Hemisphere. In Europe, a large forest fire currently burning in Portugal has killed at least 60 people since Saturday. Prime Minister Antonio Costa said people do not remember a fire that large in the country. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
Douglas Weber is known as a numbers guy at Temple University in Pennsylvania. Weber is a labor economist. Years ago, he met his future wife at a mathematics camp. His latest research offers guidance on how to keep students on target to earn a degree from a college or university. Among his findings, it is important, whenever possible, for college students to complete their degree program in 4 years. Also, getting a part-time job is probably a good thing to help finance a college education. But too much time spent working on a job makes it less likely the student will graduate. Weber's latest research suggests that students who are close to dropping out of school will do better financially if they stay with it and find a way to graduate.
Why is finishing college in 4 years so important? One thing, Weber said, is financial aid that helps many students pay for college. Scholarships and other assistance generally stop after 4 years. So the cost of each additional year in school is likely to come almost entirely from the student and or parents. But there are other reasons why taking more than 4 years is a problem, as Weber notes.
It's because life gets in the way, other things happen.
By that, he means the longer you stay in college, the more likely that some unexpected event will affect your studies. It could be a loved one getting sick, a parent losing a job, or the student running out of money for college.
For any number of reasons, it's, you know, in your best interest to try to get out as soon as possible.
It is not only that students staying in school more than 4 years are more likely to drop out before earning a degree. It's another year or two out of the labor market. That means lost earnings, Weber said.
The latest information shows a majority of college students are not earning a degree in 4 years. The Digest of Education Statistics considered students who entered four-year colleges in 2009. It found that only about 4 in 10 graduated within 4 years. It is also important that students have enough time to complete their college classes, Weber added. His research suggests part-time work of 15 hours or less will not cause harm to the student's scholastic performance. But his research shows students who work 20 hours or more a week are about 15% less likely to graduate on time or to graduate at all. His belief is that students active in college athletic programs would face the same problem. It is common, he said, for student athletes to spend 20 hours or more for training, travel, and to compete against athletes or teams from other schools.
University of Pennsylvania researchers looked at graduation rates for students at 65 universities with big sports programs. They found that 68.5% of these student athletes graduated within 6 years. That compared to 75% of all undergraduates at those schools. Weber did his latest research with Ben Ost and Victor Pan of the University of Illinois. They looked at students who were struggling to pass their classes. Weber said many people think that students who are close to dropping out of school would be better off cutting their losses and leaving without a degree. But he said his team's research shows a strong return for those students who can struggle through and get a degree. He looked at earnings information for people who dropped out of college. He also looked at income for graduates who were once on probation because of low grades. The bottom line, he said, is that students who persisted and got their degree earn about $500,000 more over their lifetimes than those who gave up or were forced out of school. There is a massive difference in your earnings outcome if you're going from 119 credits, one short of graduation requirements, to 120 credits and a degree, Weber said. Weber supports programs that help students meet their academic obligations. For example, he said Temple University has a Fly-In 4 program. It provides aid to needy students so they do not have to work too long at part-time jobs to pay for college costs. Weber also supports a program at Georgia State University in Atlanta. The university uses a computer program to keep watch over student performances, so problems such as the failure to turn in an assignment or a low test grade can be fixed quickly. Georgia State says it can help find solutions for struggling students before they risk flunking out. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Bruce Alpert.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.